Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And Genesis chapter 7 is a very familiar text. We're dealing with the ark and Noah. And I was reading through this, and there's one key verse I wanted to look at. And if you would, go ahead, and just for the honor and the word of God, just please stand, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. In the book of Genesis, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou hast, every clean beast thou shalt take, let me read that verse again. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and his female. Of fowls also of their air by sevens, the male and his and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For ye, says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord. And Father, we do thank you for the singing this morning, Lord, and the songs we have sung unto you, Lord God, and we can sing those songs, and knowing that we have victory in you, Lord God, and we have a hope and home in heaven. And Lord, you love us and you care for us. And you're an almighty God and you're a powerful God and you're a loving God and you're a kind God, but yet you're a just God and you're a righteous God. And Father, I do thank you for that. I thank you for showing the sins of the world, Lord, that we can see our conditions we're in. And Lord, how you loved us and you died for us and you shed your holy blood and you resurrected for us, Father. Now, Father, as I preach, Lord, I pray to speak to the hearts and challenge the needs the people have. Lord God, if they're lost, I pray someone to get saved, Lord God. If they're everybody saved, Father, I pray they'll challenge their hearts to knowing that we need to serve you, live closer to you, Father God, knowing that days are coming that you will come back. Lord, we love you. Hide me behind the cross. Fill me with your power and your presence, Lord, and bless the reading of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this verse, in chapter 7, verse 7, it says, and Noah went in. It's the kind of key verse I want to talk to you this morning. Noah went in. God tells Noah that, hey, there's going to be a flood. I want you to take all the clean animals, sevens, and male and female, bring them in. Of all the unclean animals, of twos, and male and female, bring them in. And then he said, then in verse 4, he says, yet 7 days will I cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. God is, at this time is going to destroy all mankind or everything alive. And God is a holy, righteous God. But yet He warns man, He tells man, and yet there's a time coming where God says, you know, I'm going to destroy because of the sin of the world. In verse 7, though, the Bible said Noah went in. God has promised to us that He will not destroy the world again with all flesh by the flood. But we know it floods. And especially you guys living in Louisiana, you know it floods a lot. But listen, but it flooded the whole world, at least 15 feet above the highest peak of the mountain. When you have a person or place in the Old Testament, you see the characteristics which are thereby points to another or greater person. In the New Testament, we call that a type. You see the ark, it does not match every case of it because Noah built the ark, but because God didn't, for instance. But it was a wonderful type of Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. For instance, it says the ark was the only way to for the escape of the flood. The ark had only one door. There was a free invitation, no price and charge for entering that ark. It was all free. God shut Noah in and secured him in that ark. There was a cutoff time for entering that ark. There was 120 years, excuse me, that they had to get this done and the judgment will come. There was a few ways that the ark can be a type of Christ in his salvation. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. The only way by grace is through faith. Even this time, in the chapter 6 in Genesis, Noah found grace. Salvation has always been the grace of Jesus Christ, or God Himself. Listen, He was the only way. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is freely offered gift. Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 tells us, And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a whosoever, and it's a freely offer to all mankind. Believers are secured in Christ. And listen, book of John chapter 27, it tells us this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We see that the believers are secure. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. This is security we have in Christ, just like He was sealed in that ark by God closing that door. Opportunities to be saved are not endless. Listen, there's going to be a point that's over. There's a point opportunity. Just as Noah, there's 120 years. There's a point where the flood will come. There's a point when Jesus Christ will come and bring judgment upon the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and a day of salvation. I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, because here's the truth is, He may come 2,000 years from today, but that means you're not going to live 2,000 years, is it? You may live, 70 and 10. I mean, you basically got 70 years, maybe 80 years. But listen, my point is this, you're going to die. I can die today. Tomorrow, Monday morning, my wife can plan to go buy a dress. She can plan to go shopping. But she has no idea she'd be planning to buy a casket for her husband. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? I mean, today is accepted day of salvation. There is a time of an end where you will face judgment. The time will come. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except by Father which has sent me to draw him, and I will raise him in the last day. I wonder how many times does Christ have to be righteous to offer you salvation? More than once? Is once enough? Because it's a sad thing to say that we can have multiple chances to get saved where people in Africa or in Spain and different parts of the country have one opportunity. And some may never have one. But yet, the Spirit of God says, I draw them. I speak to them. Listen, there's an endless time. With this in mind, I want to look at Noah and see that how you can be saved. And also, I want to look at how He can save you. But listen, how He can save. We just look at salvation. It's an evangelistic message. And you say, preacher, we're saved. Well, bless God, praise God. But where is all the people that you could have brought that could have heard the message? Listen, my point is this. We need to be challenged. Everything is good to hear. It's a good challenge to remember how you got saved. It's good to know that I'm saved. I got that secure. Then you look at your neighbor and say, you know what? I got that, but do they got that? Point number one, I said Noah went in. Verse 7 says, chapter 7, verse 7, Noah went in. But you know what? He went in because of the flood. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 says, but when they saw many of the Pharisees, this is John the Baptist speaking, and he says he's come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There was a sin problem. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Judgment was coming because of what they have done. And you notice in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it mentions a man 9 times. And it's speaking of man, his condition. Man, what he has done. Man is it's talking about, number 6 refers to man. But listen, man has come to a point where there's 120 years of time expectancy for judgment. Verse 3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Not say he's going to live 120 years. It's a point to the judgment will come. He's long-suffering, but judgment will come. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, it says this. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he says it unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What man thinks is great and honorable is abomination to God. The best I can ever be is abomination to God. Think about it. What man thinks is righteous and perfect and good is outside of God, it's abomination to him. That you can be a admirer of the world, but you reject God, it's abomination. Listen, the sin problem is man. For all have sinned. Listen, all righteousness is filthy rags unto God. Listen, their heart condition was evil continually. We may not be in that state today that we look at our nation as evil continually, but my dear friend, there is wickedness abounding and abounding because righteousness is going away because man is not proclaiming truth. There's preachers who are preaching, they're not preaching truth. They're not going to preach evangelism. We're going to preach about how God is good. Let me tell you how God is good. He loves you, and you just stay in the way you want to be in, and you can do what you want to do. Drink a little bit, smoke a little bit, do a little bit, shock up a little bit, do all right. God loves you. Yes, He loves you, but listen, the judgment will come. Listen, sin is abounding because righteousness has not been prevailed. It ain't because of God, it's because of us. That our nation is turned from God. We don't want God in our schools. We don't want God in our government. Listen, we think of unrighteousness where Hitler killed, 6 million, 3 million Jews? How many was it? 3 million? But now he's talking about the Polish and the other people, just the Jews. We call him abomination, unrighteousness, and our Supreme Court today kills millions of babies a year. Unrighteousness, evil. Or, listen, there's a sin problem. There was a sentence was pronounced. Chapter 6, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is not talking about the rapture here. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ when He comes on earth. And He goes, for in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, and this is what Jesus is talking, He said, given in the marriage until the day that Noah were entered the ark, and knew not the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Lord, Son of Man, be. Then shall, let me stop there, but here, let me read it again. Verse 37, but the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of men be. For in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Lord be. They were having their own little church. They were going shopping at Walmart and Target. Going to jobs, somebody was getting married. They had plans for retirement, plans for this. But they wasn't planning for the judgment, did they? They wasn't looking for the judgment. People thought nothing of the warning of Enoch when he preached. They thought nothing of 120 years of Noah preach. Only 8 people got saved from this flood. The question is, would you be one of those 8? Or would you be one of those that was taken away? They didn't see the clouds thundering. They didn't see the earth shaking. It was a normal day. Getting married, planning a life. There wasn't planning. Listen, I'm serious. My wife can wake up Monday morning and plan to buy her a dress and and say, I'm going to buy my dress. I'm going to look pretty. I'm going to surprise my husband and carry him out to dinner and have a little time. Brother Seth's in there, a celebration. How many years of anniversary? 51 years. So planning to celebrate. My wife can wake up Monday morning and I'm dead in bed. She ain't planning the casket. Judgment's coming. Death is real. If you're not saved, you got to get in the ark. Excuse me. You've got to get in Christ, don't you? He's the only way. But the thing is, there's a problem. But sentence is pronounced. Judgment, for the wage of sin is death. Judgment will come. Verse 3 in chapter 6, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God's spirit is striving with the lost. The striving speaks of making effort, endeavor, the earnestness. Listen, he's dealing with, the Spirit of God is dealing with man. He's striving with man. Come. Listen, grace is, salvation has always been through grace, folks. It is always by the grace of God that man's be saved through faith. It ain't nothing of our works. Listen, they were looking at things. They did sacrifice what Christ would do, but it's always faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And listen, God delights in mercy. Grace is warning. But they resisted the call. They resisted the call that Noah preached for 120 years. And it grieved the heart of God. Verse 6 says, it goes on, it says, they strive with man. It says, my heart, spirit, should I always strive with man, for he is also is in flesh. Where did I lost that verse. Verse 6, and it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It hurt him. Listen, he had a change from being blessing that he had to bring judgment upon mankind. Listen, there was a sin problem. There was the sentences were pronounced, but there was a salvation provided. Verse 14, it tells us in chapter 6, it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without pitch. Make thee an ark. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, but it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Salvation was provided for him and for the whole world. But he went in because of the flood. Listen, we warn people of the Lord coming back. He's not going to come back. He's an austere God. He's stern. He's firm. He looks at you and says, I gave you a position, responsibility. And he says, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm not just going to give you awards for not doing or you trying. Oh, I didn't really try. No, it doesn't matter. He's a righteous God. And he will judge sin righteously. Grace isn't God's reward for good life. God's response to saving faith. You know, when the Spirit of God speaks to you, it's a challenge of our soul, it's our intellect, our emotion, our will, our soul is made up of. The mind can understand God's warning. But you hear it, there's a fear and emotion knowing that judgment will come. There's a fear that lest I die where I stand, I'm going to hell. And there's that will, it's an act of obedience. I hear what God said. I forgot what man said at this. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. He died, he paid it all, and he resurrected. What must else I do but accept this loving and gracious God? Amen. But he acted upon it. He understood it. He understood the judgment of God upon his heart. The thing is this, people have come down to the altars and wept and cried with emotion and it affected their soul. And they're willing to come, but there's no understanding. There's not faith. They have to have an understanding of what it is. That's that basic principle foundation we have, that he did die. He did resurrect it. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch, he read, he didn't understand it completely unless somebody told him the truth. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23 says, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. You have to understand it. You have to hear it. But listen, you have to receive it. Listen, he went in. He heard it. He understood that God is going to judge the world with flood. He feared that if he didn't get in for him and his families, they would die. And received it, and he did it, and he went in. The thing is this, people heard truth. They know of it, but they haven't received it. They haven't entered in. They said, one more day, like the days of Pharaoh, one more days with the frogs. One more days of sin. One more days of this, but judgment was coming. Think about all the families and friends and neighbors he had that were given in marriage and living every day. He went in on a sunny day. Then judgment came. Listen, anybody ever was saved by grace, not by sacrifice. You can not keep up the law, is not doing works. You can reject it or you can accept it, salvation. It's a choice. I can't pray my family in heaven. I can't make my daughters get saved. I can't make my family. I can't make you. But you, I can tell you the truth as Noah did those days. Tell the truth. But they have to accept it. Listen, our testimony we live. Miss King was telling in Sunday school how she gave the tract. But listen, he saw it affected because her testimony, how she left. She didn't respond with wickedness. She didn't respond with evil. She responded with kindness and gentleness because she knew her Savior. It affects people's lives. Number two is this. Noah went in because of faith. Now, he went in because of the flood, but he went in because of faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself." It's what? A gift of God. Not of works of righteousness, which we have done. And listen, faith is the word of God. Genesis 6, 22 says, Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He had confidence in God. He trusted God that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. I mean, it's kind of a simple thing about Christians. You believe that God will give. You say, "Give and it shall be given." Do you believe that God will give it back? You believe that if you give your life to God, He'll give you more abundant life. Do you really have confidence in God? Do you believe that He's a great God and He loves you? I mean, the thing is this. He had confidence in God that it's going to rain. It never rained. Have you ever seen the resurrection of anybody? But yet we believe because we trust God. We have confidence in God's Word. Now think about it. He didn't see it rain. He'd never seen a flood. But yet he was building a ship in a dry, I don't know what kind of land, but he was building because he trusted, he had confidence in God. I mean, God's coming back. And they balk and say, "Yeah, he's coming. Yeah, he's been talking about it, but he's coming." But we ain't living like he's coming, are we? No, we ain't praying like he's coming. We just talk, but we ain't doing nothing because he's coming, folks. He's coming. He had confidence. Listen, it was his covenant, not our covenant. Look at verse 18. It's chapter 6, verse 18. It says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." His covenant. My point of it is originally established with Abraham. I will establish. Remember he told Adam and Eve, "Between thy seed and her seed." He said, he made a covenant with them. "It's my covenant I established with thee, Noah. I'm going to go through your seed, through your line now. But I established my covenant." He's going to do what he says he's going to do. He does. Adam failed, but God never fails. God does exactly what he says he's going to do. God will find means to maintain his covenant, the seed for the woman with thee. He holds the word of God above his name. Psalms 138, verse 2, the last point says, "For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." His word, what he says above his name, this is a great God. He's a prince of prince, a prince of peace. He's a counselor. He's almighty God, but his word, he never fails. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Listen, the word of God, his faith was in the word of God, but his faith in the wrath of God. He had faith in the wrath of God. Genesis 6:17 tells us this, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." It shall die. He believed God's wrath will come. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." But what? "But the wrath of God abideth on him." You're not going to get the wrath of God. You already got the wrath of God if you don't have Jesus Christ. That means my neighbor is lost. They have the wrath of God abiding upon them. And they're going to die. They're going to be cast in hell. They're going to be in hell forever and ever, where the worm dieth not, the teeth are gnashing. Listen, they've died and they will never get out. Amen. The wrath of God. He believed it. Do you believe it? Hebrews 2:3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us them that heard Him?" How can you escape so great salvation without Jesus Christ? All those people in the world we see today, without Christ, how can they
get away from the wrath of God without Christ.
Ephesians 5, 6, let no man deceive you in vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon them, and the children disobedience. Psalms 2, 12, David says, kiss the Son. The capital S-O-N. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and perish from the way. When the wrath is kindled, but a little. But he says, blessed are they that put their trust in him. You better kiss the Son. You better get on your knees and kiss the Son and say, God, I love you. Thank you for my salvation. I'm trusting in you. You better kiss the Son before it's too late. My friend, our family members, ones we love, do we fast? Do we weep? Do we pray that God say, listen, they won't listen to me. Will you send somebody that they will listen to? Oh, God loves them more than we do. They better kiss the Son. The warning was told to Noah. Judgment was coming. But they were all getting married. They're all planning to do what they need to do. The sun was shining. We're planning tomorrow. We're planning this. I thought he was coming. Because he can come any moment. That means that ones who heard the truth will believe a lie. They'd rather believe a lie than the truth. Listen, he had faith in the Word of God. He had faith in the wrath of God. He had faith in the way of God. Genesis 6:18 tells us, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Romans 5:9 tells us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Listen, it's that blood of Christ. But listen, it's his way. I'm the way and the truth, life. It ain't your way. It ain't my way. It ain't their way. But it's his way. He believed that it was the only way. There was only one door in that ark. And he believed God. He didn't close that ark, did he? He went in that ark, didn't know how it's going to close. But he believed God. And it was God's way. I don't know how God is going to take me out of here. I don't know how he's going to do all that. How he brings the dead from bringing the, I don't know. But that's God's doing. I trust my God. It's his way. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and to wait on his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivers us from the wrath to come. Listen, Noah went in because of the flood. Noah went in because of faith. But Noah went in first. Noah went in first. Joshua 24:15 tells us this. And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Let me read that again. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whom does it seem evil unto you to serve? Does it seem evil unto you? Choose today who you will serve. The gods of your father, the fathers that we served before. Some of us, Brother Baggs, talking about how he was Catholic. Served his old gods. Or are we going to serve the gods of the United States of America, the humanism perspective? We're going to have to make a choice. We're going to serve him. Or not. Yeah. It's a choice. You can accept him or don't. But you reject him. You say, I'll do it tomorrow. You rejected him today. You say, I'll go soul winning tomorrow. You rejected him today. I'll read tomorrow. You rejected him today. I'll pray tomorrow. You rejected him today. You accept him or you don't. It's a choice. It's a choice. And I know a lot of you have made a profession of faith, and I believe a lot of you are saved. I don't know who is and who isn't. But if you go back and remember, when you look at these truths, it puts encouragement on our life to say, I'm going to choose to serve. Is it evil or is it not? It's not evil to serve the Lord. Don't wait on someone else to be saved and trust Christ. Don't wait on someone else to serve God. You serve him.
You make that choice.
You know, as your pastor say, this is your altar. You say, well, we don't do it that way. Well, you need to start doing it God's way then. Because it's God's altar. So we're God's children. It's all equal in the playing field of the cross, isn't it? And God directs us, and we need to get a hold of God. When I heard good preaching, I get on my knees and get a hold of God. Because God is my God, and He's worth it. But I choose to serve my God. I did not come here because you asked me. I come here because God put me here. Amen. You chose by assuming trusted that you chose me because God said, that's the man. And you said, God, that's the man. We accept that. We trust you, Almighty God. We humble to you, Almighty God. I say, wife, go in that kitchen, fix me something. She goes, yes, Lord. I'm not your Lord. She says, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the Lord. Because she's obedient. She's obeying her God. I love her when she's not lovable because I love my God. I mean, I got to sacrifice my life when she is. Listen, are you praying for your wives? Really? I mean, you bathe in your prayers of your family. Jesus loved the church and He died for it. Are you willing to give up TV and time and pray for your family? And sacrifice what you want and for their wants? And that was just a commercial break. Approaching the danger was a judgment. Genesis 7, verse 4, it says, for yet 7 days will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I made will destroy from off the face of the earth. Hebrews 10, 25 says, not forsaking assembling ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another. And we say, well, God's command. But this is what's so amazing about this command about going to church. Why should we go to church? Because it says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, I hear it thundering. I can hear the cracking of lightning. Because I know God's coming. Amen. It's getting bad, and I know He's coming. There's no more signs to be that Him called the church. There's no more signs. He's going to come in a twinkling of an eye. Listen, so much the more is as you see the day approaching. Approaching danger. There's availability of deliverance. Genesis 7:7 says, Joel went in. It was availability. He went in. The choice is available to you. It's choice to you to go in. You say, well, I'm saved. But still the choice of you to say, I'm going in and serve the Lord God. I'm going to give my life totally for Him. He ain't saying that. He didn't call me to vocation to be a pastor. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about service to live for Him as your child. Here am I. I tell my girls, listen, be better than mom and daddy. Live for the Almighty God. Be better than what we are and serve Almighty God. Exceed what we are. Go in and give your all in. Pray for a man that will love you. But you see, listen, that's good. But listen, she needs to find a man that loves God first. Men, your wives need a man that loves God first. Women, a man needs a woman that loves God first. Amen. We need to get in. Not just to salvation. We need to get in Him and be attached to that branch. The audience drew. Listen, he got in and it affected his wife, his sons, and their son's daughter. Who you're bringing. Who you bringing in. Are you in? Are you totally in? And is your life affecting? Your testimony reveals not just the words you say, but the testimony of how you live your life. Are you in? Noah went in with followers. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You should be bringing your family. You should bring in your friends. You should bring followers. You should bring co-workers. Bring anybody. Listen, you have influence in your life affecting others. But the thing is, have you come to Christ? Have you totally come to Christ? You know for sure you're saved. And then listen to this. If you haven't, would you come today? Have you come to Christ? Are you bringing others? The thing is this, of all the people, only 8 souls made it. He couldn't make them. It was a choice. Of all the people out there that day, only 8, which would you be in? Will you be part of the 8? And the thing is this, if you're part of the eight, are you trying to bring someone in? Not just to church, folks. I'm talking about to Jesus Christ. Have you been baptized, scripturally baptized? Have you found a home church where you know I need to tag myself in and say, I'm in, I'm going to serve God? Decision's got to be made, but it's up to you to make that choice. There's needs that needs to be made, but we need faithfulness, not unfaithfulness. God wants it all in. He secures us. We need to trust Him. Let's stand heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As the piano comes to play, you say, preacher, I know for sure, 100% sure I'm saved. No doubt. I know if Jesus Christ comes today, I have a home in heaven. As a testimony to me and God Almighty, will you raise your hand and say, preacher, I know 100% sure I'm saved. Amen. Put your hands down. Say, preacher, but I'm not sure. I'm 99.9%, but I'm just not sure. You know, if He comes today, I'm not sure I'll be in heaven. I'm not sure if I'll have my name written in the book of life, God. Oh, God, I'm not sure. Say, preacher, this nobody's looking around. It's between me and you. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Raise your hand. Say, preacher, by a testimony for God, I'm just not sure.